This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. It isn't uncommon that young children under the watchful eyes of tiger parents get sent to music schools to learn how to play the piano, regardless whether the child has or has no interest in the musical instrument. Some give up early after a few lessons, whereas others get to be competent enough, like ABRSM Grade 5, and then not beyond. Exposure to music and to playing music are undoubtedly good activities, and I believe music should be part of every child's education. Some children, however, take to music like the proverbial duck to water, and today I have three such young musicians, pianists to be precise, who not only play the piano, but perform at such a level of expertise that they win competitions. They are Deborah Grace Lim, Joshua Ng, and Jeremy Yeo. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi.
Thank you for having us.
All three of you started music lessons quite young. From what I understand, Joshua at 4, Jeremy at 7, and then Grace at 11. How much was that down?
Sorry, no, I actually started at about 6.
6, okay, sorry. Yeah. I was wondering about that. Late bloomer. How much was that at the prompting and pushing of your parents, and how much of it was you wanting to do it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, for me, my parents actually forced me at first. I remember it was at the Yamaha music school, and I cried terribly the first day. And my father kept calm, and he brought me home, and he straight away caned me and said that I paid your fees for a month. You better go finish up 1 month of your music lesson. Well, from then, it was more of a responsibility, more of a duty for me to learn music, and it was soon that the teacher realized this talent in me. And even though although I completed grade 8 in like standard 3, but it was still a responsibility to me until I meet with other musicians in a music course in England at about the age of 12. It is from there that I started loving music. So you could imagine like how many years of dedication, how many years of pushing and forcing that parents would give. But I really appreciate their effort, and I hereby also encourage other parents to do the same as well, because even as they learn music from such a young age, when they reach secondary school in their co-curricular activities, it is from there that you see them flourish, and it is there you see them grow in their musical experience. Yeah.
Well, for me, I never really thought of it as a chore per se, but it was part of my routine. Like every Saturday, like Joshua, I would go to Yamaha for like just regular lessons, but I was never actually passionate about it. It was more of like, oh, okay, this is something I can kind of have fun with, the different effects on the keyboard and that kind of thing. But it wasn't until I was 11 that I actually started getting serious about playing music after seeing this performance by a bunch of children about my age, and they were playing really, really well. And I started to think to myself, wow, I'd like to be able to do that too. And so I told my parents that I'd like to try like classical piano, and at the same time also picked up violin. And just from there, I think my love for music has just grown ever since then.
Jeremy?
Oh, well, I don't really like quite understand why kids nowadays they feel like it is a chore, you know, and a bit of a force to do to play music and to even perform it. For me, well, when I was young, I was not really exposed to a lot of games or any too much of outdoor activities, so I was mostly at home because I was a bit of an introvert, and so I had to do for something for my hobby. So I started, you know, playing the piano, and I found out that, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, that I can express myself through music instead of talking. So most of the time I'm very quiet, you know.
Unless you're forced to be on radio.
So, you know, anyway, it was a bit of a discipline, you know, to play classical music, and I feel that people misunderstood classical music a lot. That is why they couldn't understand it, you know, and they'll think that it is music of no dead man or anything like that. Yeah.
What kind of music did you guys listen to before you took up music lessons and during your childhood? Because that's really kind of the time frame that we're talking about when you were kids.
Well, okay. For me, because I actually started music quite young, I don't think I have any impression of music that I've heard before I've started learning. Yeah. And of course, as I said just now, that I wasn't really actually passionate about music when I was young. So I actually wouldn't go all out to search for all kinds of sources of music. Even when I was like in primary school, the most music that I heard is from my own church. That's all. But it is only later that I started appreciating the harmonies in classical music, and from there that I proceed to more of the pop music, especially in China, which is flourishing very well now. And it is from there that I gain much experiences and ideas about music. Yeah.
For me, I do remember as about maybe 3 or 4 years old, I'm not very sure, but like most little girls growing up, you know, you listen to like Disney and Disney Princess and stuff. And I remember very clearly, I was watching a Beauty and the Beast on TV, and then there's that iconic song like Tales All This Time, that one.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, basically that's what it is. Yeah, and I remember feeling that, wow, that was such like such a nice song. The thing I remember that my mom and dad got kind of irritated at me after all, because I would just keep singing it over and over and over, and they would just be like, oh, okay, maybe you should find like another show to like fixate on.
And what, how much music did you listen to at home, or, you know, during the time when you were doing your lessons, Jeremy?
My teacher usually introduces me to a lot of great legends of piano playing, you know. And so from then on, I get to exposed to those classical music, and I also venture into operas, ballets, you know, to listen to how are the culture of the Westerners.
And now that you're all playing music at a level and engagement that isn't common to many, you know, I assume that you're just kind of really enveloped in music all the time. How much music do you listen to outside of what you practice? Because I think for people who kind of listen to music for fun, it's like, well, you can't get enough. But for people who practice music the way you do, I'm assuming sometimes, maybe I'm wrong, it might get a little tiring to always be surrounded by music.
That is where different types of music comes in, and it kind of shifts your focus and your passion to different kinds of music. Because listening to 1 hour of classical music and again and again and again while I'm doing homework, even going up to 2-3 hours, it's going to get very tiring. That is where I switch kinds of music. And of course, because I'm in secondary school now, and there are times where I have to do up arrangements for my own choir, and are not going to sing classical music, so I have to arrange lots of pop music for them. So actually, I do recently listen to much more pop music than classical music, and especially in many of the China music shows where laymen don't participate in singing competitions, but the singers themselves participate in competitions, and therefore their arrangements, their ideas of music is just much more at a professional level. I actually listen to a lot of pop music at this, China and, you know, Taiwan kind of area, where I gain much ideas in terms of arrangement and stuff like that.
Well, for me, I feel that listening to music is generally just not a choice. I always enjoy it, regardless of whatever kind of music. But it's like, maybe it's like different when I'm practicing myself, because I'm trying to get the piece as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
Or you're thinking, oh no, I didn't get this part like just right. I need to like put in a bit more sound, a bit more effort. But when you're just listening to, like, for me, I listen to, say, like, whether it's orchestra or pop, like soundtracks and things like that. I like to just let like music just wash over me, just to appreciate it for all its beauty, instead of what I normally do, which is just like nitpick at every single little thing, because I'm trying to get it as good as possible when I myself am playing. So I just feel that listening to music is definitely something everybody should enjoy.
Well, I have to agree with Joshua and Debra, you know, that music sometimes, you know, when we have a certain kind of mood, we would like to listen to a certain type of music, and sometimes, you know, for me, I'll even prefer silence, you know, instead of any noise or sound that I will want to hear. So anything is music. It could be anything. Yeah.
We talked earlier about the moment, I think, where you realized, okay, no, I really love music, or I really love the piano. And people can't see, but there is actually a keyboard smack in the middle of our studio. So we're going to ask you guys to play a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of time taken to move to the keyboard. You can't see, but it's a bit of an obstacle course for our young friends. But perhaps you could, maybe let's start with... Deborah, let's start with you since you're closest.
Could you play
something that kind of tipped you over, the piece that inspired you to think, okay, you know, I really would like to play this beautifully. I really love this piece of music.
Okay, so maybe I'll go with a piece that I first heard when I was 11. That was like what really got me interested in classical music.
And what piece was that?
That is Shadas by Monti. Normally you would have like a piano and maybe like a string quartet playing this, but since we don't have a keyboard here, so yeah, I was just playing transcription. Yeah.
Okay. And Joshua, before you kind of try and fight your way over to the keyboard, what piece are you going to play?
I'm going to play a piece. It's actually a song by Schumann, but it is transcribed by Liszt. The song is called Widmung, meaning dedication. It's a love song. This wasn't the first song that I fell in love with, but it's definitely one that I was wishing to learn for a very long time.
Okay. Jeremy, what are you going to play for us?
Well, today I'm going to play Prelude by Frédéric Chopin. Because I've not really actually prepared a very short piece, so I'll like to like just a short one here. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, let's hear it. We have more piano talk coming up for you after this. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. I'm speaking today with Deborah Grace Lim, Joshua Ng, and Jeremy Yeo, all winners of piano competitions. And up next, we'll be finding out more about what they like and what they think is the appeal of classical music to a young audience. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. And one of my guests today is what you're listening to, actually, Deborah Lim. She's joined also by Joshua Ng and Jeremy Yeo. They are all young pianists and all winners of piano competitions. And that's what we're talking about today, what it's like to be a young pianist who loves classical music. And I'm curious about that. We've been talking quite a lot about the kinds of music that you like. And I think in this room, there's a pretty decent selection of different genres. You know, everybody has different interests and flavors, but what is the appeal of classical music for you? What are the things that keep it fresh and interesting, considering that you've all been practicing it now for 2/3 of your very young lives?
Well, classical music, I wouldn't quite compare it with other music, because it's music in itself. Although we at this generation may think that classical is boring at our generation, but it was certainly appealing at those times. Actually, what really appeals to me is how the composers display and manifest their emotions through music, and even every single note and every single melody and even the harmony, they chose it so precisely to bring out a certain emotion which really connects to us. And this is what I really love about classical music. When I perform and when the audience come up to me and say, I was touched and I enjoyed your playing, that really gives us joy and is, I think, one of our greatest achievements as musicians.
For me, I feel that why I love classical music so much is because really the possibilities of expression. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about, not to compare directly between classical or pop, but normally most pop songs, you know, they've got lyrics to go with it. So there's definitely a definite emotion that goes with it, whether it's like being like really joyful or it's just really sad and things like that. But I feel that with classical music, that there's so many ways that you could interpret it. So yes, you're faithful to what the composer has written in terms of the harmonies and the melodies, like what Joshua said. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, because you are playing it, you're making it your own as well. I think that's something very special, because it becomes something that it's a work of art that you have input in. It becomes part of, like, an outlet for you to express what you're feeling at that moment.
And when we're talking about something becoming your own, mm-hmm. You know, especially when it comes to very famous composers, very famous pieces of music, I'm curious about this. Is there anyone you either particularly like, or you feel, you know, that you can really emote and express what's happening within that song? And why do you think that is?
Well, I'm sure that most pianists or musicians, they have their own favorite composer. For me, you know, it's Frédéric Chopin or any romantic composers. And I think most people will prefer a romantic composer, because there's a lot more freedom for expression, and they are not so disciplined in some ways.
That's very true. Classical tradition.
Yeah. But it depends on who is the composer, and it says a lot about the life of the composer also. So when we look at their music and we are trying to decipher, you know, what the composers are trying to tell us at the time, what they are doing, you know, and the culture itself. So, well, there are a lot of things to learn from classical music, you know. So that's why we will not even get bored about listening to things again and again, because there are always a different way of interpreting things.
And can you play us a little bit of Chopin while you're talking about how much you love him? I think it's a good time.
Okay.
All right. And so, yeah, once again, just a reminder to everyone, we have to kind of wait a little bit simply because they have to make their way to the keyboard, which is in the middle of the studio.
Thank you.
Deborah, Joshua, I'm sure you knew that question was coming your way as well. Are there any composers that you find you particularly relate to and can really get into?
Well, I think if you would ask most musicians, they will really find a hard time to specifically tell you which one they like. But in general, I think for especially young pianists like us, we would definitely relate much better to romantic music, as Jeremy has stated before. Simply because there is so much emotion in it, there is so much story behind it. And even if we can't relate to the story of the composer, we can very much fit in our own stories to connect with the audience. So, basically romantic music from Chopin to Liszt to Schumann, Schubert, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, they are all really fantastic composers which we can really relate to.
And did you want to give us a little sample of a favourite?
Well, maybe you should proceed to Annette.
Okay, all right. Deborah?
Well, I think, like what both Jeremy and Joshua have said, I think in general, romantic music really is a lot easier to relate to in many ways, and of course the fact that there's lesser structure and form, so that there's a lot of room that we can just go into.
It's less formally complex.
Yes,
right.
Yes, that's right. And one of my favorites, I'm actually currently playing. I'll be playing this at Carnegie Hall on 30th May. There's this Liszt etude.
They're playing in Carnegie Hall. How different is it for you guys all perform? How different is it for you when you play in a recital or in a competition? What's going through your head?
Playing in a competition and playing in a concert, it's a totally different experience, as many would tell. Basically, in a concert, you play what you want and you make all the efforts to connect to the audiences and everything. But when it comes to a competition, you are restricted by many things. We are more concerned about what the judges want, and we try to play our best, and we just try not to make any flaws. And there are a lot of things going through our mind, especially fear and anxiety, where you really scared you screw up. And usually my approach to competition is to just play like another concert. Because all of us don't win all competitions. Yep. And because what really gives me joy and what really gives me satisfaction in music is when I play what I want and I express my story through my music. Even though the judges may not agree with my interpretation, but as long as the audiences may relate to me and as long as I could thrill many of the people seated in the hall, that really gives me joy.
How aware are all of you of your audience and how it's responding? How does that impact how you perform?
For me personally, I feel that having an audience definitely affects me as I go on stage and like probably the time leading up to just before you actually perform the music. More because normally in a crowd that's more appreciative of the music, I feel that on stage you can definitely tell that people are like anticipating, they're waiting, they really want to hear what you have to say through your music. And for me, I feel that I definitely feed off in the sense that energy, because it spurs me to play my best even more so, because like I want to because they're receptive and I want to communicate to them what I have to say in my music.
So I think to be a like a performer or a pianist, a concert pianist or anything. I feel that sometimes we have to be a bit more like shock sendiri.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
True,
because the audience will always feel what we are feeling actually through music, you know. And I've been an audience before, and I can really feel like how people would perform and what are their emotions at that time. Are they nervous or anything? And it affects the music somehow. A little bit of difference could
change everything.
It's very obvious.
Like sometimes if you hear somebody, you can tell that they're very nervous, or you can hear somebody who's going like, I'm gonna give everything I've got, here it is, and the feeling that gives to just the whole piece is very different.
Well, no, I mean, how much time do you spend preparing for these performances, for a recital or a competition? Because, you know, I think, like, for those of us who... I mean, I only ever got up to a very, 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 very mediocre grade 5. And I know that even getting there, I was bored all the time, you know? So how, I mean, how many hours of your day do you spend kind of practicing for this?
Well, to be honest... I'm very busy with my school and everything, and it's although many music teachers would encourage or force students to practice every day, spend 1 hour to 4 hours per day, you know. But honestly, in an ever developing country like Malaysia, and unless you're going to put all your efforts into music, or if not, I don't think it's possible to spend so much time practicing every day. So to be honest, I don't practice every day. There are some times where I only practice 2 hours per week. So it is only when it's closer to competitions and concerts, it is there that I try to put everything aside and to focus. And even for days, like if I could play even like 7 to 8 hours per day. Yeah, but that's only for a short while. So no worries, it's not something.
Well, for me, I'm quite lucky as a homeschooler. So I get to structure my studies around like whatever that's going on. So for instance, like maybe leading up to, say, a major competition or a recital or something, I might practice 3 hours, 4 hours a day, because it depends on, say, the length of the program and everything. And sometimes it's not even that I want to spend, like I set myself a goal, okay, I need to spend 4 hours, but it's just because of all the detail, all the work that needs to be put in before you realize it. Well, 3 hours are actually just gone, just like that. Exactly. You didn't even realize it altogether.
I think the hours actually doesn't really matter much, but I think what matter most is the efficiency of practicing. Okay. Like if you could even spend 6 hours, but you have not really actually practiced a lot because you have been like trying to, you know, fumble around and playing with phones, you know, doing.
Well, let me check Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, and it takes around half an hour.
So it's down to efficiency. Okay, got it. How important is it to compete? Why compete?
Why compete? It's definitely it's a different experience. Everybody can pass an exam, but not everybody could win in a competition.
Yeah.
So being an exam is being with a white man or whoever in a room. Yeah, but being in a competition, there's... You see a lot of people. We meet our contestants. We sit with them. We talk with them. We get nervous together. We encourage one another. We congratulate one another. That's the fun part about competition. Well, you may get nervous, but it's a really really great experience performing to an audience and receiving comments from the judges and even the audience. It's just a wow experience. Yeah.
I think for me, competing is definitely important because exams set like it's a standard that they want you to meet. But I think it's also very important for as musicians for us to see among our own age groups, like people are younger than us, older than us, where do we stand amongst them, to see like how other people are working and to even like push yourself really to another level, because very often competitions, you're not going to use your exam pieces really. You have to learn new repertoire, you have to think of different interpretations altogether. It pushes you out of your comfort zone. And I think that's definitely very important as a musician, to always like be creative and everything.
competitions are like benchmark, you know, like a standard that you want to set for yourself, and you'll want to improve, and you'll want to see yourself to grow to become a better musician. And competitions sometimes do encourage us to be more stable at times, and like stressful times,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to really work well under pressure and stress.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
And Deborah, you mentioned you're going to be performing in Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
Which makes you sound, you know, it's, well, I mean, everyone knows Carnegie Hall. That's the wonderful
fair,
thing.
Joshua and Jeremy have both already performed Carnegie Hall as well. So yeah.
And what led up, I mean, what led up to all of you getting to Carnegie Hall? Because according to the old joke, you get there by practicing. But I don't know how you guys did it.
Well, we did practice, I think. we practiced a lot.
That was part of it.
Definitely a very big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what led up to you performing at Carnegie Hall? Going to perform, rather.
Okay, so I signed up for this competition called the American Prodigy Piano and Strings Competition. And so basically, I submitted recordings of my playing under a given time limit. And from there, quite a big panel of judges will judge your playing, and they'll decide whether they say you're first, second, third, or like honorable mention, that sort of thing. And if you do get a placing, then you will be invited to perform at Carnegie Hall. Yeah.
And is that what brought you guys, Joshua and Jeremy, to Carnegie Hall as well?
Yeah, the exact same path.
All right. Moving forward then, how do you see your future? What do you want it to be? Do you see it in music?
Music, it's fun, it's entertaining, but yet when the public knows you, there's a lot of expectations, and it's really, really stressful. Even I used to be very steady when I participate in competitions when I was young, when nobody knows me. But as I grow older, when people see, oh, Joshua's in, and you know those kind of expectations, it's like, oh. You know, there were times where I played and I suddenly got so hungry and numb halfway during my performance, and it's just really stressful. So, and even to, I mean, music is tough. I mean, as a career, to be on top, it's already difficult unless you teach. If not, you're not gonna survive economically, mm-hmm. financially, and even if you get on the top, it's gonna be very. Really stressful. I don't have words for that.
So
what I do plan to do is to perhaps do music for a while, but later on to move on into government education. Just teaching in normal secondary school. From there, I may not be teaching music, but maybe in things like co-curricular activities, I don't mind using music as a medium to educate and to touch more lives. I think that's more meaningful.
For me, I've personally decided that I won't be going to music as a profession per se. I want to be a lawyer. So I feel that I will definitely keep music Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'll definitely keep music as part of my life, for sure. Because there's many different ways that music can impact others, whether it's through, like, charity concerts, or even just letting people know, like, what music is and letting them feel it for themselves and that sort of thing. So I think it'll always be a passion, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sometimes we have to be more practical about life, you know. of course, we dream of being a prince or a princess or even a concert pianist. It's not that easy. And we know that the path is tough, you know, but sometimes we will want to challenge ourselves. Even if we aim for the sky, you know, we might just fall on clouds, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So dream big.
Yes.
Deborah Grace Lim, Joshua Ng, and Jeremy Yeo, young and very accomplished pianists who have participated in competitions, all past winners of the Cadenza Piano Competition. The Malaysian preliminary competition will be happening soon. Applications are being accepted now for participation. And to find out more, you can go to www.cadenzaevents.org. Lady and gentlemen, thank you all very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Deborah Lim, Joshua Ng, and Jeremy Yeo today on Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.